you want to come over and join me? I would like you to pretend that you are going shopping with my mother and I in downtown Minneapolis. It's after Thanksgiving in the year 1935. Dress warm. First, we need to walk 3 blocks to get to the streetcar. Have your token ready, and you put that in the box by the conductor, and then you take a seat. The reason for our trip is to buy material for my Christmas dress, which I will wear for our Christmas program the Sunday before the big day. My mother's favorite store is Dayton's, and already it's decorated with real trees, tinsel and ornaments, and oh, the windows are just full of beautiful scenes. Oh, so festive. Get on the escalator, all of you. And when we reach the yard goods department with its patterns, materials, and whatever else is needed for sewing, we'll stop there. It's decided that a blue taffeta will be chosen for my jumper with capped sleeves, and then I'll have a white taffeta blouse underneath. Do you think that would look nice on me? I'm so excited to see what it becomes. And now we take the streetcar back on a noisy ride home. Anxiously, I watch the material turn into this gorgeous outfit as Mother spends many an evening on her treadle sewing machine. Yes, it's not electric. It's not a plug-in, but one you work with your feet, similar to what Mrs. Reitler does on the organ. Only this turns out a masterpiece in needles. So, previous practices having taken place, and now the big night is finally here, and I and my Sunday school friends are assembled before the huge crowd, boys in their Sunday best and we girls arrayed in ours. Many verses of Scripture proclaiming Christ's birth are recited after having been working on learning my verses. And proclaiming Christ's birth. And we sing the Christmas carols, Away in a Manger, always first. That was always first. And then thy little ones, dear Lord, are we. And we always ended with Silent Night. And that seems to be what happens often, doesn't it? Silent Night. After the benediction, we assemble in the basement of the church to be greeted by proud parents. And always we received a box like the animal cracker boxes that you get. And it's all done in Christmas pictures and filled with candy for us. And once in a while, we'd have an apple or an orange included. It was a wonderful time for me. Thank you for being part of my memories. Now you can go.
Jesus, born in a stable, on the baker's world. You left your throne in heaven. Good morning, my friends. How are you today? Do you know what this is? It's a Minnie Mouse piggy bank. Yes. And my favorite Christmas memory is the story about this piggy bank. But I have two favorite Christmas stories. The most important and favorite story is the story of the baby Jesus. But you already know that story, so I won't tell that story this morning. I'm going to tell the story of my Minnie Mouse piggy bank. A long time ago, I had a very special friend, a girlfriend, Maisie Tucker Ike Dean. Do you know what her name was? Great, Paula, your grandma. But she wasn't a grandma then. And it's hard to believe, but I did have a girlfriend. But we lived in towns very far apart from each other. She lived in North Dakota, where it was cold and dark all the time. And I lived in Iowa, where it was sunny and warm all the time. And our first Christmas, we had to spend apart from each other. It made me very, very sad. But she gave me a Christmas present and told me I couldn't open it up until Christmas Day. So she wrapped it in pretty paper with ribbons and bows, and I put it underneath my Christmas tree at home. And I kept looking at that present thinking, what is in that present? What is that present? But I waited until Christmas Day, and I always used to wait to open up my very best Christmas until the end. So I waited until all my other packages were open, and then I tore the paper off that package, and I tore the ribbon and the bows off, and out came a Minnie Mouse piggy bank. And I thought, that's really weird. Why would anybody, especially my special friend, give me a piggy bank? And then I thought, maybe there's money in it. So I shook it. No pennies. Shook it again. No dimes. Shook it again. No quarters. No dollar bills either. I thought, wow, okay. But then I turned it over, and there was a note attached to Mitty's arms. And that note said, I love you this much. I love you this much. No one had ever told me they loved me that much before. So that was my very favorite Christmas memory. Now, every Christmas I have two favorite Christmas stories. One is the story of the baby Jesus, and that's the most important story ever. My other favorite story is the story of my Minnie Mouse piggy bank and the very special friend who gave it to me. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. for another story. I decided to wear my bathrobe, too, because sometimes I get sleepy when I tell stories. Amelia and Soren know that. So this Christmas story begins before Christmas, and it was a long time ago. And I don't remember it except what I was told by my parents and my three big brothers. And it was a long time ago. So, one year, in October or November, my older brothers discovered that my mom was expecting a baby. And they heard from my mom that she was hoping for a sister. So, it was an election year. It was lots of buttons and signs and lots of talk about who would be the new president. And my brothers were really into baseball. And my oldest two brothers were on a little league team. And they thought if my mom would just keep having babies, they could have a team of their own. So they really didn't want a little sister. They wanted a brother because, you know, girls didn't play baseball very much in those days. So they decided they were going to have a parade with all the kids in the neighborhood. And they made signs, and they marched up and down our street with signs that said, "Vote for Bob," because they decided that Bob was the name they wanted to name their baby brother. So they made the signs, and they marched up and down, but lo and behold, the week before Christmas, my mom delivered a new baby. And that baby wasn't a boy. Do you know why? Because that baby was me. And I'm not a boy. The fact that I wasn't a boy wasn't the only problem, because my mom had a specific factor in her blood that was causing a reaction in my little body. And so when I was born, I wasn't very healthy. And I was actually blue when I was born. I wasn't pink. I was blue, and so they had to work hard, and that my parents prayed, and they worked hard, and eventually I was more healthy and breathing, and I turned pink, and my mom told the doctor, she said, "You know, I really want to have this baby home by Christmas." And he said, "Well, I don't know, but we'll see." So she prayed, and I still hadn't met my brothers. They knew they had a baby sister, and I think they were a little disappointed. But do you know what? The doctor let her bring me home on Christmas Eve, and they put me under the tree and told my brothers I was one of their presents. And you know what? They really loved me, and they were thankful. And my first Christmas, I got this little baby. She was probably not much bigger than me. This is baby Katie, and she was my first Christmas present that first Christmas. So I don't remember that Christmas, but what I do remember is that from the time I was a little one, I always loved to lie under the Christmas tree. I'd push things aside and lie underneath and look up at the ornaments. Have you ever done that? You lie underneath and you look up at the lights and the ornaments. And I would thank God for Jesus, and I would thank God for life. And God is so good. And that was always a very warm memory. So even though I'm not much of a baseball player, my brothers loved me and were such good big brothers. And that's my Christmas story.
Good morning, boys and girls. This Christmas, I will be celebrating my 83rd Christmas on Earth, which is a long time, and I had so many wonderful memories of all my Christmases, but they all kind of run together, so I can't remember them all,
And so I'm going to tell you, of course, I remember Jesus' birth, which is the most important thing. So I'm going to tell you about three memories that I remember from Christmas. The first one is I was born on a farm way out in the country, and we were supposed to go to Grandma's for Christmas Eve. Grandma's place was about 4 miles away, and the nearest plowed road was a mile away, so there was no way we could get our car out. So Uncle Duff went out to the barn, and he milked the cows, fed the chickens and the pigs, and we got ready to go. We figured we were going to get to Grandma's house here, because Grandma had lutefisk waiting for me, and I certainly didn't want to miss that. So what he did is he took this this sleigh, not this sleigh here. This is kind of a more modern sleigh, which you'd think of. Our sleigh did not look like that. Our sleigh looked like an old wagon box like this. And the top of it came off, and when you took the top off, you just had the runners underneath. So he hooked the horses, harnessed them up, hooked horses, Dick and Daisy, and put them on the front. And we headed over the field to Grandma's house. And when we got there, of course, we had our, first of all, we read the story of Jesus' birth from the Bible, and then we had our dinner, and then we had our presents, and then we headed home with the bells ringing on the horses and the sleigh running smoothly over the snow, and it was a bright evening night, and we had a lot of joy in our hearts. Memory number two. We had a thing called Yuletaw when we were growing up. Now, Yuletaw meant Christmas before dawn. So Yuletaw service was at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so we had to get up about 5 to go to Yuletaw. And so we couldn't play with our gifts because we had to go to church. And they started off by singing, "All hail to thee, O blessed morn." That slow. This song, sung in Swedish, 12 verses. When you're sleepy, it's hard to sing 12 verses of anything. And then the pastor got up, and the pastor spoke in Swedish. So I didn't understand anything of the service, but I still went. So that's my second memory. My third memory is every Christmas, a little man from our church, about the height of my mother, which wasn't very tall, came driving up the driveway, and I knew what he was going to have for me. He had purchased 24 Hershey bars. Now, Hershey bars at that time were bigger than they are now, and they cost a nickel apiece. So his total gift was $1.20. And then I had to share it with my two sisters. But anyway, that gift to me is the one I remember the most in my life, because it showed the love of Jesus. So that gift was important, but of course the most important gift is the gift of Jesus. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you. My favorite part about Christmas is ice skating. My favorite part about Christmas is sweating. My favorite part about Christmas is candy.
Kids. So you've got to hear lots of awesome Christmas memories today, and I get to share with you all of our favorite Christmas memory, the favorite Christmas memory of all, and that's our memory of the very first Christmas when Jesus was born. So I'm going to share the story with you before bed. 'Twas the evening of Christmas. Was the evening of Christmas when all through the town every inn was so crowded no room could be found. Tired Mary and Joseph, who went door to door, at last found a place on a small stable floor. "Thank goodness," said Mary, who tiptoed inside. The mice saw the donkey and scurried to hide. The rest of the creatures all cuddled up tight, in hopes that they might have a calm, peaceful night. The pigeons were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of breadcrumbs danced round in their heads. The cows closed their eyes, and the oxen laid down. The doves cooed so gently, the lambs made no sound. The moon through the trees was just starting to glow, with a glimmer of light on the stable below, when quite by surprise came a newborn babe's cry that woke all the animals sleeping nearby. Up jumped the cows and the oxen and sheep. Up popped the pigeons, aroused from their sleep. They all came to gaze at the small baby boy as his mama and papa hugged him with joy. Now donkeys, now cows, now pigeons and sheep, now oxen and mice in the manger did peep. His eyes how they twinkled, his dimples so sweet, as they nuzzled his fingers and cute little feet. And out in the fields, taking care of their sheep, some shepherds were just getting ready to sleep, when all of a sudden they had such a fright as a whole choir of angels lit up the night. But the song of the angels, the words that they said, soon let the men know they had nothing to dread. "Dear shepherds, it's wonderful news that we bring. A Savior is born. He is Jesus, the King." They ran to the stable and peeked through the door and saw something never imagined before. There in a manger, a baby boy lay. No blankets, no pillows, his bed made of hay. And to that small stable came three splendid kings with gifts for the baby, all beautiful things. They jumped from their camels and knelt at his feet with their frankincense, gold, and myrrh that smelled sweet. The stable was filled with a wonderful light, as stars above Bethlehem twinkled so bright.
And high in the heavens, God whispered, "My son, you'll bring hope to the world and love everyone." Then back to their slumbers, the animals curled, amazed at this babe who had entered their world. As Mary and Joseph got ready for bed, they snuggled their baby and kissed his sweet head. As Mary laid Jesus asleep in the hay, she thought about all that had happened that day. The mice heard her whisper as she tucked him in tight. "Merry Christmas, my son, and to all a good night." Merry Christmas, kids. God bless you. Now get to bed.